want to just stop seeing the action we've done it once, and that way I can announce the number. That's the only thing.
Number 411. And I need a choir. Please.
Thank you.
announcements.
Good morning. Senior chief coming. A few announcements. First off, we'll have our small group Bible study tonight or today, going with the Gospeler. May 25th, we'll have our business meeting after the morning service, and then there'll be no evening service on that day. And then May 31st, the Corinne Church dedication service will be at 10 a.m. The only other thing I had, the youth camp is coming up here real soon. June 10th is when we're going. First off, if there's any other youth kids that want to go or a friend that wants to go, we need those forms and permission slips by this Wednesday. And then because we are doing the camp, us and Hopewell, us and Hopewell are pretty much putting on the camp. The only thing they asked us if we could provide is desserts, cakes, brownies, cookies, anything like that. And if you feel like you'd like to donate some of those or make something for that, we would need those on June 8th. That way we don't have it too soon and it goes bad. And then June 8th we could put it in the fridge and then take it with us on the 10th. So if you'd like to do that, we'd love that.
Get with Erica on that, he said. So, youth camp's coming up, but children's camp's coming up shortly after that. And I know that none of you have anything to do this Wednesday night because Awana is over, but we will be working on props and decorations for children's camp beginning this Wednesday at 6 o'clock. So if you just don't want to stay home and you want to come help us, we can absolutely use your help and need all the help we can get. If you have any questions about that or if you have any great ideas with a jungle theme, I'd love to hear that as well. So thanks so much.
All right. Will y'all pray with me? God, I pray. Just thank you for this time of the year, God. Thank you for those who are graduating and starting new journeys, God. And I pray for camp as we get ready for it. God, just be with us and bring the kids and the youth that we need to speak to there, Lord. That way you can speak to them. God, I pray for Brother Wade and the message he's going to bring this morning. God, I pray you just speak to our hearts with it. In Jesus' name, amen.
Let's have welcome time now. number 407. 407, because he lives. Help me as best you can. You guys have got the words up there. Lord, I need you. Would I come? I confess. Now in you I find my rest. Without you you're the one. offerings, guys would come now.
Good morning. Pray with me, please. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we do need you. Thank you for watch care over us and many blessings of life that you give us. We're thankful for the rain. And, Lord, we just ask that you watch over us and provide as you see. Thank you for this time of offering now that we give back a portion to you. Take this offering, Lord, that your glory might be expanded in this community and around the world. Again, thank you. We love you. We give you the glory and the honor. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, good morning, everybody. Did everybody feel that like they did their best on that? I'm just asking. I'm no conviction here. Not pointing any fingers. Good morning, everybody. All right. Now I feel like you did your best on that. So, all right. I do have a thank you note here. I want to share with y'all, and Children's Church can go ahead and slip out if you'd like. It says, a heartfelt thank you, OBC family. We just wanted to thank you for an amazing adoption party. Thank you for supporting Dalton and I in this new adventure. Thank you for loving on Rosie, Chase, and Lindley. We love you all and are so blessed to call OBC home. Love the Ewing family. So thank you, and thank you note. So I think we did have a good party there the other day and a good turnout. There was food, so it's always a good party. You know, I Brandy and I were in the Walmart the other day, and we got separated. She said, I'm going to go to the women's section. And she was gone for a little bit, and I got ready to look for her, and I texted her and, you know, said, hey, you in the women's section? And she said, yeah. So I went, and I was looking for her, and I couldn't find her anywhere. And I finally called her. I said, are you sure you're in the women's section? She said, yeah. And I said, well, I've been all the way from the vacuum cleaners to the laundry detergent, and I haven't seen you anywhere. Oh. Apparently, they got clothes in the women's section, too. I don't know. Now, if you're here and you're a lady and you don't like that joke, it's Brandy's fault because she okayed it. So she found it funny last night, and I was like, that's the one. So, and it was a joke because whenever we're in Walmart, it's me that gets lost. So. Anyway, apparently I get lost wandering around. I don't know if anybody else gets in that, but all right. Do we have any announcements that I'm missing? Did anybody tell me to say anything? I don't think so. So let's as you notice, we don't have our screens up today. So I'll give you the scripture that I'm going to be in as I come to them. I can tell you we'll start in Hebrews chapter 11. We're going to be a little bit in Genesis, Colossians. I've got a little bit of scripture here and there. There's going to be a lot of different places I'm going. So I know you didn't think it was going to be a Bible drill today, but it's going to be a Bible drill. And I'll just go on. Hopefully you guys can catch it. I have all mine down here. You won't see how long it takes me to find the books of the Bible without typing it in and hitting enter. So, what is faith? When I ask that question, everybody gets an idea, right? You come up with your definition of what faith is. And when I say, what is faith, what do you think about? That's what I want to talk about this morning is faith. You know, Hebrews chapter 11, verses 1 through 3, I believe, says, now faith is confidence in what we hope for and assurance about what we do not see. This is what the ancients were commended for. By faith we understand that the universe was formed at God's command so that what is seen was not made out of what was visible. You know, faith, if you will, we think about faith. Faith is not an emotion. When we have faith, when we think about faith, now faith might cause emotions. It might make us be emotional in some ways, but faith also is not an emotion. I'll say it's almost a decision as well that you're going to have faith that in something. And we choose what we have faith in. You know, the old example is every one of y'all had faith that when you sat down that the chair wouldn't fall, right? You know, I was thinking out. We have faith in things. Everybody, with the exception of maybe Sherry, drove here today. Oh, well, everybody drove. Everybody drove. So sometimes she doesn't have as much faith in the vehicle manufacturer, so she walks across the road. But you know, we have faith in the manufacturer of the vehicle, the designer, the steel worker, the auto worker, all these people that put it together and made the components. And you may not think about it that way, but when you're doing 60 plus down the road, you have faith that thing's going to hold together. And that faith might be because you trust the government regulations. It might be that, hey, no one else's cars seem to be falling apart at the time. And it might be because you drove it a while. But every time you get in a vehicle, you've got faith that it's going to hold together and keep you on the road. And, you know, we put faith in different things. And like I say, sometimes You don't know the designer, most likely, of the vehicles or the person that put it together. You might know your mechanic, right, and trust them. But we put faith in people that we don't even know, don't know anything about them, and we put faith in things that doesn't really earn it all the time, but we don't think about it, I think, in that sense. But, you know, faith, I believe also, as the Bible talks about it here, faith is built as we have that relationship, not only with the Word, but with God. And like I said, we trust our vehicle as we drive it more. We trust what it's going to do because we have an experience and we have a history with it. And if we don't trust the Word of God and have faith the first time, we're not going to build trust. It's out of the experience that we have, you know, with the Word. You know, where, as a Christian, where does our faith come from? What aspect of your life does faith apply? Now, I can tell you where it should apply, but I'm asking, where does it apply? Where in your daily life does faith apply? Where do you have it as a believer? Where do you have faith and how does it apply? Maybe you're here this morning and you say, I don't have that relationship with Christ. I'm not a believer in Christ for salvation. Well, where does faith come in your life? Genesis 1:1-4 says, in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth, and now the earth was formless and empty, and darkness was over the surface of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. And God said, let there be light, and there was light. And God saw that the light was good, and he separated the light from the darkness. And God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. And there was evening, and there was morning the first day. How does that go along with faith? As I talked about a moment ago, we trust the manufacturer we know nothing about. We trust the auto mechanic that just knows how to repair things. He didn't design it. He didn't build it. And we have faith whenever we go to the mechanic that he's going to fix something. We have faith when we go to the doctors that are going to make us well, and they didn't design it, and they didn't build it, and they might have a clue sometimes of how to fix it. But God created it all. He created it from the beginning. He created everything there was. I started at the first, before it goes on talking about everything else he created, but he created it all. He designed it all. There's a whole lot more reason to have faith in what he tells us than to the doctor, that we say we trust our lives to our doctors, right? And whether we say we do or not, you do when you go and you do what they tell you to do. You're trusting your life into what they say, into what they know, and they know vastly less than what the Creator of the universe does. Colossians 1:16-17 says, for in him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities, all things have been created through him and for him. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together. You know, there, I believe, many Christians today that are struggling to have faith, to live with faith and to know what faith they have. And I think there's a lot of other people out in the world as well. You know, they're struggling with their walk that they have with the Lord, or to even have a walk with the Lord, and they struggle. And I heard once that, you know, whenever Jacob was struggling with the angel of the Lord, you know, and he walked off with a limp, right? No. Yeah, Jacob. Now I'm questioning myself. All right, thank you, Max. Max, give me that reconfirm there that I was right. And then his name changed from Jacob to Israel, right? Because he had struggled with the Lord. And I heard a guy talk one day, he said, that's what the Jewish people were called to do, was to struggle always with the Lord. And they struggled. And I apply that as a believer. And as we come to believe in Christ, we're going to have struggles, and we're going to struggle. Life is one struggle. One long struggle, and we're going to struggle with our faith, and we're going to struggle with the Lord. And there's going to be those times that, you know, we don't understand. The reason we struggle is because sometimes my will wants to overpower what His will is, and I have to come back to the Scripture and remind myself sometimes that He is the creator of all things. He knows more than I know. Even though I want to think I know something, I know very little compared to the creator of the universe. He knows what's better for me. He knows the plan that He has. You know, sometimes believers even struggle to have any faith at all. And I wonder, are you acting like, if you're there and you say, I struggle even to have any faith, well, are you acting like you have faith? See, because if we don't act like we have faith, we never put faith, we never trust what God says in His Word. If we don't ever act like what He says is true the first time, we're never going to start with a history to build to say, okay, now I trust what He said because it was true, and now I can trust Him for something else. If we don't ever act on our faith, it makes me wonder, do we have faith at all? First, we have to know what faith is, though. And as much as I love definitions, I have one for you. But the Greek definition of the word faith is used here, and I may butcher this, but we spell it P-I-S-T-I-S. I believe it's pronounced pistis. And it's used also in John 3:16 and some other places. But here it means faith, belief, firm persuasion, assurance, firm conviction, or faithfulness. And as it says here, having faith is trying or acting. Now, those words, trying and acting, we think of those, and when we say acting, we might think of people in Hollywood, and when we say trying, we think about making an attempt, right? But, you know, are we trying? Are we putting it on trial? Are we taking it to its conclusion to, I'm going to try faith, as in I'm going to actually have action on that? See, we think about acting, we think about actors, but it means to have action as well. And we have to be acting on what we say we believe to build a history of faith. Christians, you know, that are they have that saving faith first, and if you don't have a saving faith, if you don't have faith in Christ, then the Bible tells us you're not a Christian, right? You're not Christ-like. You're not a believer in Christ if you haven't had a saving faith. You know, your parents might have it. Your grandparents might have it, your aunt and uncles might have it, all of your siblings might have it, but if you haven't got it, you can't inherit it in any other way. You have to receive it. You know, we could be raised in church, we can go to church every time the door is open, and that doesn't give it to us either. It's a good place to find it, it's a good place to hear about it, but it doesn't just happen to us because we've been enough times. You may even strive to keep God's commands and laws. And you might be able to say, man, I'm 95% there. I'm almost keeping everything. But I know that you're not keeping all of them because the Bible says we can't. It says it's impossible. That's why we have to have grace through the faith. And a saving faith only comes from God. Ephesians 2, 8 through 9 says, for it is by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not from yourselves, it is a gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. It's a gift of God, and a gift from God means He gave it. No one else can, and no one else can take it, because He gave it. You know, sometimes I think faith is a little bit more difficult to have and practice than other times. And I remember sometimes in my life I have these distinct memories. And I don't know what causes them, but I have them. And I hold on them and I dwell on them from time to time. And I remember, I can't give you a date, but I remember the happenstance. And I was driving down my driveway in about 2018. And I just got a promotion at work. The grass was green. Life was good. Things were going great. And I remember thinking, man, I am just really blessed. Life can't get any better than right now. All the kids were well, doing good. It was just, life was good. I was probably also headed fishing. Brandy and I fished a lot in 2018. You know, I don't know. I just remember driving home from work that day thinking that thought. Hopefully you guys have a time that you could say that and look back to knowing that, hey, I just really am blessed right now. And I remember that was in 2018 because 2 years later, life was a little bit different. Do y'all remember 2020? I know it just kind of evaporated, right? And it seemed like, you know, we were living in the upside down all of a sudden, if you will. We were living in a different universe than we were living in 2018. At least that was my case. And looking at, I just don't really know what's going to happen in the future. Because, I mean, the world shut down, right? That early 2020, they said we were all fixing to die, you know. And it turned out that they were wrong pretty much about everything. But they had us all as a society shaken. Is that fair to say? Uncertain of what the next few days, weeks, months might hold. But there was one thing that I can remember. And remember in 2018 how life was so good and how I was blessed? My faith is not dependent upon my current circumstances. My joy shouldn't be dependent upon my current circumstances. We should have faith that whatever happens, whether it's another 2020 or if it's a 2018 in my case, I have the same God. I have the same faith. And regardless of what happens, I know where I'm headed and I know what's the ultimate outcome. And it's sometimes, like I said, more difficult to have faith than others because of circumstances. But I think it's important when struggles come, when things happen, that we remember that God's in control. That's when we have to have our faith to get us through, to have joy regardless. James 2:14 says, "What good is it, my brothers and sisters, if someone claims to have faith but has no deeds? Can such faith save them?" You see, James is asking a question here, and I think it's an important question. He says, do you really have faith if it doesn't affect your life? Do you really have faith if it doesn't, whenever the rubber meets the road, doesn't matter? Is your faith abstract or does it have action? And more importantly, are you acting on the faith that you have? You know, we keep the faith by continually trusting and having the assurance of the reliability of God. But we can't keep the faith if we never take off with the faith. You know, it's easy to trust God when the things are going good, and it's more exponentially difficult whenever things are going rough. Whenever life throws us the curveball. But shouldn't we be expecting a curveball? Isn't life just a curveball? You think back to the times in your life whenever you're like, man, everything is just going perfect. Everything is just going smooth. And they're probably not very long stints. It's probably just those flashes. Because life is a curveball. And if we're going through it without the faith, Brandy and I were having this conversation sometime recently. I don't remember if it was last night or today or when, but, you know, without faith, it would be rough to go through life, regardless of how things are going. Without knowing what's going to happen, I don't need to know what's going to happen tomorrow. Let me use this as an example. I'm familiar with this corporation that does a survey every year, and they ask this question about, do I trust leadership, basically? Do I have confidence that the leadership is making the right decisions, right? And they always get a bad score on this survey. And I know why. It's because people think they should know more than they should know. You see, because leadership, they're making decisions on a different level, on a different pay scale, if you will, on a different responsibility level than what those of us that are supposed to just carry out their visions need to know. I need to know what I need to know to get through my day and to do my job. God, He's got the plan. He's got the vision. I don't need to know everything He knows. I just need to know what His purpose is for me. I just need to know what He wants me to do today. I don't need to worry about what He's got 10 years from now. I just need to worry about now. I need to worry about, I know that His ultimate plan is for me, right? And I don't need to know every turn about how I get there today. Wouldn't that take some excitement out of life? You know, I'm fixing to take a little trip, and I was talking to Brandy about this too, and it's like, you know, I don't know what's going to happen. I don't know. They're calling for hail and thunderstorms, maybe even tornadoes. I've never rode in a tornado before. And, you know, who knows what's going to happen, but that's the adventure of it. Amen? I know how it's going to end up. I'm either going to make it home or I'm going to make it home. Amen? That's the adventure, and we need to have that adventure in life. And we can't do it, though, if we don't have faith that it's going to be okay because we know who God is. We know that He has us. I got a little story about some girls here. I don't want to skip this story. I like this story. There's these three little girls, and they were deciding that they wanted to be princess, right? And they determined that whoever had the most money would get to be the princess for the day. And the first little girl, she counted out her pennies, and she had 13 pennies. And the second little girl, she counted out her pennies, and she had 14. And the third little girl, she counted out her pennies, and she had 14, and she said, well, I've got 15. Now, you can imagine what happened next. They started arguing. Well, you've only got 14 pennies. You can't be princess. I've got 14 pennies. You got 14 pennies. Finally, she said, whoa, whoa, whoa. But my daddy told me he was going to give me one when he got home today. So I've got 15 pennies. Now, would you take that little girl's word for it? Depends on if you knew her daddy, right? Is that what somebody said? It depends on if you knew her daddy. See, she knew her daddy, and she knew that she had 15 pennies. Regardless if she was holding 15 pennies, she had 15 pennies. That's kind of how faith works with God, is if you don't know her daddy, you're not going to believe she's got 15 pennies. But if you do, and He's always been trustworthy, she's going to know it. And I wondered as I seen that story, am I that kind of parent? Am I that kind of parent that they know that whatever I say is the way it is? And if you're not that kind of parent, you need to be, because your relationship with your child is projecting the setup of how they can see God. And if you didn't have that relationship with your parent, it's not because God was a failure. It's just because somebody didn't make the right relationship choices. I remember, well, let me ask this. What if you're the only one? Would you stand for what you know is true? Would you hold the faith if you're the only one? It's easy to say, yeah, until we're there. We were out playing cornhole one day, and we were discussing the rules, because that's, you know, the way things work. And we were discussing who was correct, and I was told, said, Wade, just because, or let's see, how did they say it? They said, Wade, when you're the only one that thinks you're right, you might want to rethink it. And I said quickly, I said, well, I'm glad Christopher Columbus didn't say that. Sometimes you can be the only one and still be right, amen? And if you're the only one that has the faith and holds the faith, it doesn't matter how many people disagree with you. It matters what you have your faith on. It matters what you know, not how many people disagree with you or agree with you, because the truth isn't up for consensus. Galatians 3, 6 through 9 says, so also Abraham believed God, and it was credited to him as righteousness. Understand then that those who have faith are children of Abraham. Scripture foresaw that God would justify the Gentiles by faith and announce the gospel in advance to Abraham. All nations will be blessed through you, so those who rely on faith are blessed along with Abraham, the man of faith. God foresaw what Abraham was going to do. He foresaw the choices Abraham was going to make. He foresaw the children, and he said, this is what's going to happen. Because he knows the future. And whenever he tells us, we can trust it, because he foresaw what's going to happen. He foresees today. Whenever he tells us that we're to do something and have faith, we can trust in it, because we have the history of all those that already have. Hopefully we have the history of those around us and the example, and hopefully we have some history in ourselves that what he told us is true. But our faith, as James told us, has to have action. You know, our faith should compel us to believe bigger than we believe. I've listened to all these graduation, speeches, and they'll always say something like, you know, dream, follow your dreams. And I'm sitting there thinking, dream what God has planned for you, right? Readjust your dreams. Don't follow your dreams. Say, Lord, I want my dreams to line up with your will. Because my dreams can take me down the wrong path. But I want my will and my dreams to be in your will. So believe bigger. It compels us to grow spiritually. Faith should always be making us stretch our legs. Always be making us move bigger than we would, make us uncomfortable so that we're growing spiritually. If you haven't been uncomfortable because of your faith recently, then you need to ask, am I doing what God has planned for me? Am I reaching the call that he has? Because it should make us grow spiritually. And faith should also compel us to believe Christ. Romans 10:9 says, if you declare with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. You know, does it compel us to believe who Christ is? I'm going to ask Donna to come and sing a hymn of invitation this morning. Maybe you're here this morning and You say, well, I have faith, but I haven't stretched my legs. It hasn't made me grow. Maybe you're here this morning and you say, well, I don't have that kind of faith that you're talking about at all. I've never received Christ as my personal Savior. I'm going to ask you to come up this morning, and we'll talk about that as well. Donna, what number are we going to sing? Do you know?
320.
320. If everybody stand. We got small groups tonight, I believe, and I think that wraps up our series that we have, and then we'll be going into our next series. I can't remember the date. I think it's the first week of next month, and I think it's on the first, if I recall. But isn't that right? Yeah. So we'll have that, and I don't think I have any other announcements. Max, would you dismiss us in a word of prayer?